Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
All right, and we are live. Welcome, everybody, to Why We Bust. The show here is sponsored by the Windy City Ghostbusters. And tonight, while we're waiting here for our guests to arrive, we were going to have a little chat here. I know we had a big weekend, and we had some parades on our end, which were fabulous. Weather was great one day, and weather was not so great. You know, the Windy City really showed its true colors yesterday. But we persevered, and that's what we're all about here at the Windy City Ghostbusters. Ain't nothing going to stop us. So I know one of us here had the pleasure of going to Indiana this past weekend for the Indiana Comic Con. So Mr. Mythical Bob Anderson.
Mythical?
Mythical. See, mythical. James is magical. You're mythical. What'd you see? What'd you hear? What'd you taste? What'd you feel? How'd it go?
So I was at the Indiana Comic Con this past weekend, which was a big deal for the Circle City Ghostbusters. I don't think they have gone public with their numbers yet. Norm might be able to correct me if I'm wrong.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, so I'm not going to be the one to spoil it. So, but I will say they raised like a wheelbarrow full of money. It is impressive. It helped because every Ghostbuster fan under the sun was all kind of going there for Ernie Hudson, you know?
That's true. He was probably a big draw this weekend. By what means did they raise it? Was it table games? Was it what they have going on?
So Circle City does several things that are pretty impressive with it when it comes to their table setup. They have props set up all over the place where people can kind of interact and look at. So it's like an interactive museum like what we do. They have four-wheel games going at any time. They can have multiple people playing. They have like a $1 spin, which gets people like little prizes. And then they have a $5 spin, which gets them like big prizes. They have a very similar Plinko situation to what we do, except theirs is electronic and Slimer talks to you while you play. And they're just, you know, Circle City is like one of the top tier teams when it comes to convention setups. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love what we do at Windy City, but their game is just on. I mean, they're running, they're going quick.
That's pretty amazing. I did catch some pictures of it and everything. It looked like a good time. What was your favorite thing about their setup?
Circle City's setup is almost like multi-tiered, right? Because you have so many different things going on. One of the things I was able to do, and I kind of offered it last minute because I thought of it, was I was there booked from Bob After Dark on top of just me going to the con. And I'm like, hey, would you guys like me to promote that I'm doing tarot readings at your booth? I'll do like a 3-card basic tarot read spread for $3, and 100% of the money I make will go right to what you guys are doing, goes to them, and then they distribute it, which 100% of their money this weekend was going to the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. I'm impressed that I'm able to remember all of this, by the way. Because you know how hard it was, you know, the little bits of time I was able to spend at their booth, I kept trying to not say La Robita. That's what I'm so used to when I do a con or I run a table, whatever it might be. No matter where I'm at, for us, it's always La Robita, La Robita, La Robita. And so I get up there and they give me this megaphone. They're like, here, you go, you can start doing some barking. I'm like, okay. I get on there and I'm like, 100% of the money we raised tonight or this weekend are going to the La, I mean, Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital, you know?
La Manning.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. So it sounds like you had a good time. What's your favorite interaction you had over the weekend?
Okay, so this is going to sound really stupid, but it's not Ghostbusters related, but I'm still going to tell you anyway.
That's okay.
You guys gave me the opportunity to talk, so I'm doing it.
We want to hear.
The last Blockbuster in existence had an experience set up at the convention. So in case you guys don't know, there is still exists one Blockbuster left in the country. One. And they brand themselves as such, and they take this they take a video store like aesthetic and they come and set that up at a convention. So for $10 you can go, which it's asinine to say out loud that I paid $10 to go walk into what was a makeshift video store, but any person who's ever had that experience as a kid or a teenager or adult, I know a lot of people in the Chicagoland area's first jobs were at Blockbuster. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I think that's engraved so much into my head from when I was a kid, and I'm never going to experience that again, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be able to go in there. They had a wall of VHS that you can go and set up and buy some tapes from, which I was hoping to run across Ghostbusters, which I didn't. It was very one of those things where that didn't pan out so well, but I did end up getting two horror movie VHSs. I got The Ring and I Know What You Did Last Summer for $5 a piece, and then I bought an employee name tag personalized that says Bob on it, and that was like my most exciting bit. I don't think young Jake got it as much as I did, because you could tell that there was definitely like Jake from Windy City came with me. And you could tell there was like a generational thing there, because the guy's, you know, a little younger.
Sure.
And you could tell that he's just like not getting why I'm like, oh, my God, you know, trying to run around taking all these pictures of their setup and whatnot. They had a live demonstration of returning a VHS tape, which I know, again, sounds really stupid, but you can go to the counter that they have, which was from a Blockbuster, and there is a return slot that's built into the counter, and you could just go and put it in the slot and leave.
Memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so yeah. Man. I'd totally pay $10 for that. I don't care.
You know what? I would too. Like, not going to lie. Video stores are a, you know, like you talk about core memories. Video stores are a core memory, because that was Friday night. And sometimes it was Blockbuster. Sometimes it was the, you know, the local haunt where you'd go, and you know, you had the shady area in the back, and that's where
they did have a family friendly variant to that at at the con. I won't spoil it in case they do this at a show. They do have a family friendly backroom situation, which is kind of funny.
That is hilarious. But yeah, I remember Friday nights used to be, you know, video store, and we grab whatever we wanted to. The hobby store was two doors down, and then the comic book store was right next to the local video rental store for me. So Friday nights as a kid, man, yeah, it used to be amazing. But everything's streaming these days. It's just not the same. Kids these days will never know the joys, let me tell you.
No. And as I was talking to the person that their general manager from the store that runs the Oregon location, it was such a, you know, weird thing just to be like talking to them about their business and just explaining. I'm like, you guys are literally, I'm sure there's probably other video rental stores kicking around the country, but I would argue less than probably 100 in the country. I would argue there's probably less than that. But yeah, the Blockbuster, you know, they're trudging on just because it's such a nostalgic thing to go there. And they have these portable DVD TV things that you could rent from there. So you can go into the Blockbuster, sign up for a membership, rent a movie, come back out to your car, watch the movie, and then you could go and return it.
That's ingenious. You get smart. It's the experience. It is smart. I think, you know, over the next 10 years, I think we'll start to see more of that nostalgic stuff come around for folks our age. We'll put us into a bracket there.
Jeez, don't make me feel old, man.
Ah, no.
That's old.
I see Norm's hair reciting a little bit up top there. You better be careful. You're aging us just with words. I think our guest is finally coming on. So that's great.
That is good. That is good. As much as we all want to talk, we want to hear from.
This is if we weren't doing a Why We Bust, and so I don't know what a Ghostbusters podcast is, because I know they exist, but I don't know like what you do where you don't start sounding redundant, and I'm like, how do we keep this different? So I'm like afraid that we sound like a normal podcast to everybody else right now, but I promise you. Our guest is coming on.
We're gonna get into the thick of it here in a minute while he logs on and comes to join us. But well, Bob, I'm glad that you had a good time this weekend. Did you get to meet anybody interesting?
I the guy who played Luke Cage from Luke Cage's show that was on Netflix.
Oh, really?
He walked by me, and it was an interesting. We had a quick interaction, but that was about it. I was so dead focused on me and my booking and why I was there, I forgot a convention was going on. So I got a chance to take a break, and I got to experience the Blockbuster thing. So that was like, I guess you could say I drove 2.5 hours to rent a movie.
You know what? I've driven 2.5 hours for less. So, you know, like you're creating memories, Bob. That's what life is about, right?
So tell me about the parades while we're waiting for our guest. How'd the parades go? Because Windy City had 2 parades this weekend.
We did. So we had the St. Charles Parade down here in wonderful St. Charles, Illinois, right down Route 64. And I'll tell you what, because it was in the 60s, that was probably the biggest crowd that I've seen for the St. Patrick's Day parade down there. Tons of people. We had a great group from Windy City down there with us. We had the bullhorns and getting the crowd riled up. So that was a lot of fun. And then yesterday, the lovely Chicagoland weather decided to do a complete 180. And gave us 30 something degrees, possibly a little bit lower, with some, I believe there was not only a grapple. If you don't know what grapple is, that is basically a mixture of snow and rain, and it forms into little balls. So we had some of that. We had some flurries and the freezing cold. So braving that for the Southside Irish Parade yesterday was a feat in itself. And if anybody's watching that was there, I give you credit for putting up with that, because that was something, let me tell you. But yeah, complete 180 for weather. But we had a great time. And at the end of the day, that's really what matters when you're doing these events. You know, just enjoying yourself, interacting with the crowd, and letting Chicagoland know we're here for all your spook and spectral needs.
We have our guest in the green room now. So Director Bob is heading out. I come in here to help stall, more or less. I will pass this back over to producer and host, and I will take my leave. I will not hit end stream, Norm.
I will find you, and I will hurt you if you do.
Yeah.
Leave studio. Good night, everybody.
That would be bad. Later, Bob. All right. And there he is.
Hello.
Hey, Brent, how we doing?
Doing good. Sorry for the delay. Traffic was a nightmare today trying to get home.
Nah, nope. No worries.
All good. So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to Why We Bust, the show where we take a deep dive into the Ghostbusters fandom, one proton pack journey at a time. I'm your host, Matt Goldenboat, and today we have a guest who's been busting across the USA. Brent Hollingsworth is a dedicated member of both Arizona and Buffalo Ghostbusters, bringing his passion for the franchise to multiple communities. Whether he's suiting up for events, helping with charity work, or representing the Ghostbusters legacy, Brent has cemented himself as a real Ghostbuster. We'll be talking about his journey from fan to franchise member and the impact he's making along the way. So grab your PKE meters and settle in. It's time to find out why we bust. So Brent, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on. And did you have a chance to watch an episode or two?
Unfortunately, I did not. I had family over this weekend, so I barely got any time to myself.
That's okay, man. You know what? Nothing like jumping in green. And so what we do is we take a little, like I described there in the beginning, a little journey through your Ghostbusters history, where it started, and kind of how you got to where you ended up today. So we're gonna jump in the DeLorean. We're gonna travel back in time here and see where we end up. So take us back to the beginning. What was your first Ghostbusters memory? Like first thing you remember even experiencing?
I'm taking it way back because I first fell in love as a little kid, Filmation's Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters I first discovered. I remember as a little kid going with my aunt to KB Toy Stores trying to find the ghost buggy because that was the car I wanted, was the ghost buggy. And the guy working at the KB Toy Store, all he kept on pulling down was cases of first line real Ghostbusters action figures. And I was like, those aren't the Ghostbusters. No, I'm looking for Eddie and I want the ghost buggy. So then from there, I don't remember when I got into real Ghostbusters. It was probably when the cartoon was on. So that's what I started watching. And then my cousins brought over the VHS of the Ghostbuster movie. We watched that. And I remember laughing because we got to see his underwear when, as an adult, I know what that scene is all about now.
Well, that's great. So it was the Filmation stuff that actually kind of got you into, and then it's all downhill from there, right?
Oh, it's you can only see one side of the room there, but
this room is
rounded.
Oh yeah, I love it. So, you know, I can definitely concur with the Filmation stuff because I had a neighbor where, you know, I had my real Ghostbusters stuff and he had his Filmation stuff, and I was confused as a 7-year-old child. I'm like, what? I don't get it. Why is it so? And yeah, as I got older, I, you know, kind of realized they're two totally separate things, which, you know what, in their own right are good in their own little realms. So Absolutely. I mean, what about Ghostbusters pulled you in?
I don't know. I guess as an adult, I get to see it more as they're just regular guys who suited up and they were the heroes. So as an adult, that's how I see it. As kids, I just thought it was cool. These guys captured and busting ghosts, because as a kid, you know, we're all scared of something, monsters and whatnot, and they really dealt with that in real Ghostbusters.
Right. Yeah, every episode was, and I'll give credit to the show, there was not a whole lot of repetition in storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like you watch some shows where it's like, okay, they're doing this again, okay, well, but real Ghostbusters was, you know, every episode was something different ghosts, mm-hmm. different, you know, introducing different things. So was it really just the Ghostbusters that pulled you in, or was it the humor or the tech or
I think it was everything. Like I remember getting the Kenner Proton Pack as a kid, and that was like the best Christmas ever. And I still have it in a box upstairs, but yeah, that was the big thing. And then as a little kid, my aunt gave me a different aunt gave me a VHS copy of Ghostbusters. So every time I go to visit another aunt during the summer, I stay at her house. All that week I was at her house, I would watch Ghostbusters over and over and over.
You know, and that's, I think, a common theme of anybody that's really into Ghostbusters is, you know, somebody may ask you, how many times have you seen it? And you really have to, it's like, I really don't know. Like,
I couldn't tell you.
It's in the thousands. If it's on TV, you don't turn it off. When you're bored, it's like, hey, I'm going to turn on Ghostbusters. It's just one of those movies that you can always go back to, and it just never gets old. So when do you remember the moment you went from just being a fan to realizing, like, hey, I want to be a Ghostbuster?
So I always saw the fan groups on, like, GB fans, the forums, and there was just nothing where I lived at the time. I lived in Vancouver, Washington. There was no groups in Portland, Oregon, or in where I lived. And I just always saw these groups doing things like, oh, that's really cool. And then when I moved to Arizona back in 2017, I kept on seeing the Arizona Ghostbusters pop up in my Facebook feed. And so then finally I just reached Jeff Lewis, was selling some stuff on one of the marketplaces. And so I was like, yeah, I'll buy it. I met up with Jeff Lewis and he's like, hey, do you want to join us? And I was like, well, I don't really have any gear. All I have is the Spirit Halloween suit. And that was like my first real adult Ghostbusters suit, was the Spirit Halloween really cheap jumpsuit and the pack.
Yeah.
And then I found people that were selling the True Spec flight suits mm-hmm. at a good discount through the Ghostbuster pages. So I got a suit. October of 2018 is when I joined them. I went to my first event. And they go, oh, do you want to put a pack? Put a pack on. I'm like, I get to wear a proton pack? I'm like a little kid. I'm like, I can put on a proton pack? Yes, yes. And so that was just the greatest. And there's everyone else was that group, just having that camaraderie of the same thing is, if I was a little kid and I saw a Ghostbuster, I would have died. And that's what I see people do is like, oh, I love Ghostbusters. Like, even little kids today, their parents are like, we have no idea how they don't like Ghostbusters or no Ghostbusters, but they love it.
Right. Now, when you were a kid, did you, I know you said you had the Kenner pack, but did you ever dress up like a Ghostbuster?
For playing around, I'd run around. Egon was always my favorite. And when I was a kid, I didn't have glasses. So my sister had these like heart-shaped red glasses. So it was the closest thing to Egon glasses I had. So I popped the lenses out of those and wear those around, running around the yard with my proton pack, posting ghosts.
Nice, nice. So you got into it. That's, and you use what you got, right?
Yeah, and I never had a Kenner firehouse, so I had the space under their desk, and I had the eraser from the McDonald's Happy Meals.
Wait,
I used that as my.
The firehouse with the Slimer that spun around on top?
No. Oh. There was like an eraser you could get like that.
Okay. Yes.
So I used that as my sign. I taped that to the top of my desk. Underneath my desk was my firehouse. And then I had a Power Master Optimus Prime's trailer I used as the containment unit.
Nice. You know what? I'm a huge Transformers fan, and the trailer definitely can double as a containment unit.
Oh yeah, when it's all folded down, it's got that little spot where the Autobot logo is. It's like, oh, that's perfect. Looks like a ghost drop could go in there.
I like that. That is how come I never thought of it? Actually, I didn't have Power Master until I was older. So, you know, like you said, you work with what you got, and that's the great thing about being a kid and, you know, watching kids when we're interacting with them. You know, their imagination's got to be going wild looking at these guys, like, holy, what is this? So that's, you know, we're always trying to be an inspiration. So what did you ever get into Extreme Ghostbusters?
I did. I actually bought the entire line, and as it came out in, like, I think it was like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I bought all of them. I had the pack, trap, and then like an extra blaster I found, just like they sold the proton blasters by itself at Kmart. I had all that. But me being the loving uncle I was, my nephew, when he was little, said, oh, I want a Ghostbuster suit. So I gave him all that because it just was in a closet. I didn't really care about Ghostbusters when I was in my teenage years as much. So I gave them to him. Looking back, I wish I had it because they all ended up at Goodwill for my sister.
Oh, boy.
But I still have the car and all the figures from that line.
That's awesome.
In my case.
That is awesome. Now, do you have a favorite, RGB or Extreme?
Egon was always my favorite. So across the board, it's Egon all the way.
And that was a nice continuation into Extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have to say, carrying him over and, you know, kind of making him the heart of the team at that point.
Yeah.
You know, as the mentor, as the go-to from the OG, that was nice to see how they did that in the original, in Extreme from original. But I'm actually slightly jealous that you had all that, because that was a time for me when I had kind of stepped away from, I love your collection, and it's hard for me to show, but I'm a toy collector. I've been collecting toys since I was a kid. So, but when Extreme was out, it's not something that I had the chance to get. So I am slightly jealous of you.
Yeah, I definitely regret giving the pack, the trap, and the extra pack accessories I had out to my sister to give them right now. Not that I regret him having that and having that memory now, but then my sister took it to Goodwill when they stopped playing with it.
Yeah, it's like the old adage of, you know, like your dad had all these comic books and grandma took them and threw them away. And it's like, oh yeah, I had Superman number or Action Comics. It's like, what? You know, it's just, it's the circle of life. So when did the idea of becoming a Ghostbuster come to light? And just from being a fan and something you wanted to do actively, was it that whole transition when you moved to Arizona that you were?
Yeah, it was when I moved to Arizona. I started seeing more of like a team doing things. And then really when I reached out to Jeff Lewis, who was the original founder of the team, he invited me to join. And then I got my first troop spec suit. I hand sewed on my patches and then showed up to the first event. And it was downhill / uphill all the way.
Right. What was it like showing up to the first event for you?
I was scared because I didn't know how people were going to judge me wearing a Ghostbuster suit. Then when I got there, everyone was like so accepting. I had somebody to talk to. We just BS the entire time and then took pictures. And just seeing the kids' faces light up when they got to get a picture with a Ghostbuster. Like I said, if I was a little kid and I saw that, I would have just been like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So was there a moment during that whole thing where you were like, oh wow, I'm a Ghostbuster now?
Yeah, when I first put the proton pack on, I was like, it was like a surreal moment where I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then later on in that same event, they're like, oh, do you want a pack? Because we have all the stuff to build them. Oh. I was like, yes. So starting in like November of 2018 and finishing in January of 2019, my proton pack, first pack got finished.
Nice. So it was a scratch build?
At Arizona, they had all the molds for vacuum form shells and then all the resin parts for the wand and everything else, which now resides in my garage.
Nice. How many packs do you own?
I have the HasLab pack. I have my first built pack. And then in my garage, I have a Frozen Empire / Afterlife cross made pack I've been working on for the past year.
Very nice. Now, have you named your packs?
I have not named my packs. My first pack is retired. Ernie Hudson signed it. Robin Shelby has signed it. So nice. It's in retirement. It sits on the shelf over there covered with mini puffs. My HasLab pack I do take out because that's just the lightweight one. And then my new pack, as soon as I just need to get it mounted to a motherboard, and then it'll be good to go.
So I have an episode for you to go back and watch because two weeks ago, we actually interviewed Robin here.
Oh, nice.
Yes. She is absolute delight.
She is so sweet and so nice. I've met her two times. Every time she's just so welcome. Like she hugs you as if like you're family.
And you know what? And that's how it really felt during our show with her on. She's a gem in our community. I will definitely say that. Mm-hmm. So during that first public appearance you did, all suited up, how did that make you feel? Like, do you think it made little Brent jealous? Like, was it something that like really hit home for you?
It was awesome. It was a great time. I have no regrets of not becoming a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. So how long have you actually been? Since was it 2017, you said?
2017-ish. Yeah, wow. 2017, yeah.
So you've been in the thick of it for a little while. That's amazing. Now, since you do have...
Hey, sorry, my dog is barking at her reflection in my... You're okay, that's you.
Totally get it.
Come here, be on camera. Say hi.
Hi, puppy!
Hi, doggy!
Lulu.
What's the dog's name?
Her name is Lulu.
Hi, Lulu. Lulu. Say hi to everybody here in Ghostbuster Land. Adorable.
Yes.
So you've got quite a few pieces of equipment. Do you have a favorite?
I don't know. Actually, you know what? I do have a favorite piece of equipment. This is something I got from somebody I met at the very first Ghostbusters day. So let me grab it right quick.
Yeah.
This here is a original 1980s Con Edison helmet.
Nice.
Very nice.
So, the very first Ghostbusters day at the firehouse where we donated the sign with the Buffalo Ghostbusters, there were two Con Ed workers there who were fans. And so I met one of them, became friends with him. During that day, he happened to give us their first, you know, the regular helmets to me and Dan, the co-founders of the original Ghostbusters day. So we each have not that one, but the other, the newer version is a little memento.
They're okay. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you have the rest of the outfit to get?
I just need to find the right flannel shirt, and then I could do the Con Ed guy. I've never dressed up as it, but it's a goal one day. But I don't think people would generally get it. They'd just be like, what is that? Because even when we do Ready to Believe You, they don't really like understand that.
So we have a team member who actually did it for our fan expo this year. And he pulled it off. But again, like there's some people that would look at it and go, what? Does he work here?
Yeah, because it's kind of a Ghostbusters. I guess we could call it a Ghostbusters deep cut. But for us fans, we know what it is. But ordinary people who just knows what Ghostbusters would have no idea.
It's like Marty the Sign Guy. You know, that's.
You're going to summon Bob.
I know I'm going to summon Bob. I was hoping to summon Bob. But anyways, I digress. That's a conversation for another day. So
one of my ongoing jokes is always, we need a receivership 2-pack action figures. I want a Ted and Annette Fleming action figure set.
Oh my gosh. That would be, you know what? There are some independent toy makers that may just.
Uh-oh.
Right now, if anyone from the Buffalo team is watching, their face palming like, really, Brent?
I want you to know something.
Hi, Bob.
That Marty the Sign Guy is the most important character in the Ghostbusters canon, okay?
Yes.
He is. Hey, everybody, Director Bob here. I'm just jumping in really fast to say, Marty the Sign Guy, if he didn't put that sign up, no one would have known who to call. And you're that's right. Why my dream Ghostbusters cosplay is Marty the Sign Guy. I'm heading out now. You guys summoned me.
You know, he hung that sign just right so people didn't drive by and not see the sign.
Also, since I'm here, and I shouldn't say stuck, but you guys are stuck with me. Right after this show, you guys should come check me out. The Twitch people are going to get raided into my channel, but I'm going to be playing Disney's Haunted Mansion for the GameCube tonight on my Twitch channel, so you guys could come on over to that.
I like it.
All right, I'm gone now.
I see Dave from the Buffalo Ghostbusters just commented. He's always talking about Ted and Annette Fleming.
I mean, they're an intricate part of that particular scene in the movie, because it it brings a little bit of realism to that whole part of it. You know, like Lewis is just he just wants to have a party. He just wants to, you know, show off the room temperature brie. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Getting back here. So, how has being a Ghostbuster changed or influenced your everyday life?
I think it's given me a lot more opportunity to give back to the community, give back to people, recognize charities. Because before I would never have done any charity type of work, really. But now it's like, I'm all about it. It's like, no, I'm not dressing up just to go to a Comic-Con. I'm not about that. I'm about, you know, let's raise money. I want to, at the end of the year, I want to see a big check, giant oversized check being handed to wherever, whoever we're working with to make that happen.
That's, you know, giving back while we're doing this, you know, it's always fun to throw on the flight suit. Like this last weekend, you know, it had been a while since I suited up. So throwing on the flight suit and the proton pack, when you get fully in gear, you almost feel like a different person sometimes.
Oh yeah.
It's sometimes surreal to do that, because you're not only doing something for yourself, but you're doing something for others too. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you can get something out of it positive, by all means, throw the flight suit on and come join us, which leads me into my next question here. If you could give advice to someone who wants to join a Ghostbusters team or franchise but doesn't know where to start, what would you tell them?
Look at your local community. Look, if you live in a city, it's generally going to be named after a city or state. Look to see if there's a team. Reach out. Don't expect it to be a glory hound kind of thing. We're not about that. It's about giving back. We're just people who love Ghostbusters, who suit up to give back to the community and make people smile.
Yep. And I'll piggyback on it. Don't be nervous.
Oh, like, don't, you know, put that suit on and own it.
Yep, exactly. Work it. That's what you got to do. So you are, you're involved with two teams, correct?
I am. I'm actually wearing my Buffazona shirt today.
Oh, nice. That is amazing. So tell me, we heard a little bit about the Arizona portion and how you got involved with that. Tell us a little bit about Buffalo and how you got involved in that team as well.
So I was moving out there for work and I knew there was a team in Buffalo. So I just reached out to their Facebook page. I said, "Hey, I'm with the Arizona Ghostbusters. I'm moving out that way. I want to continue doing ghostbusting. How can I join you guys?" And they walked me through the membership process, and Buffalo is like a family. That is what it is. It's a small team. There's only, I think, 13 or 14 of us. I could be wrong. Somebody who Buffalo who's watching, please correct me. But it's a close family. It is, you know, how I would love all teams to be.
That's nice. You know, nice, tight, small. That's good. But I will say on the flip side of it too, having how big is Arizona? How many members, you know?
I just asked Matt the other day. I think he said we have, I think, 30 some odd members, but not all of them are active. And that's, you know, it's the last few events, we've only had about the same people shown up, 4 or 5 people. So generally when there's a movie year, people are like, "Oh, I want to join." They'll, you know, go through our membership fees, background check, and then we never see them just because they kind of dropped off.
Well, then, and that's kind of the ebb and flow of a team, right? Like people get interested and then life happens and new people show up and you train and, you know, it's, I think that's kind of just the natural order of it. You know, you're gonna have your core people, and then you're gonna have people that are in and out because, you know, like I said, life happens.
Yeah, and I wish I could be more active to make every event here in Arizona, but unfortunately, like you said, life happens, and I can't make every event.
Right. So, and you've done events with both teams. Now, in terms of the events and the fan base, is there an overall different vibe from being in two completely different sections of the US?
I think the fan base is the same. It's nice to know the people still react the same on either side of each, you know, Arizona or Buffalo fans act the same. And it just all depends on what the different events are.
You know? Right. Right. No, I could definitely see that. Is wearing a flight suit in Arizona sometimes not so fun?
Gotta suck it up. Yeah, we definitely don't wear the dark suits during the summer.
But I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. Going really
black. Going try black not to do too many outdoor events during the summer. If we do, they're in the morning and then we're done.
Right. No, I could definitely see that, you know, having to dress for the weather, if you will. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Now we'll split this into two. What's your favorite memory from Buffalo? What's your favorite memory from Arizona?
Ooh, that's hard. Favorite memory from Buffalo, I think, is going to be, we did an event at the Comedy Museum in Jamestown where they have Harold Ramis's flight suit.
Nice.
And they did a screening. And during that screening, me and one of the other members had this smart idea of saying, hey, what would Ghostbusters be if all the characters were different Muppets? So the entire time the team's watching the movie, we're in the back laughing our asses off. Sorry.
No, you're good.
About which Muppet would be who and just going off. And people in the team are just like, really, guys?
So it was brought up in the chat here that that you often talk about Muppet recastings of live action movies.
Is that a common theme?
Yes.
It's kind of an ongoing joke from that event.
I'm all for it. I really could get into some Muppet Ghostbusters. I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet, to be completely honest. Jim Henson's Workshop, if you are watching, you're missing the boat here because there's a whole group of people who'd watch that. So we got that. That was with Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it was like a really fun movie. Like it, you know, obviously it still kind of goes on that we see once in a while in our group chat, there'll be something sent with me and the other guy, Merritt, tagged in it. Oh, look, Star Wars recasting his Muppets.
I love it. Now here, okay, so here's the question. Would you use existing Muppets, or would it have to be Muppet forms of the original characters?
Oh, no. You have existing Muppets, but then you have it mixed in. Like when we were joking about each scene we were watching, there was no consistency.
That's great. See, this is why people should tune into Why We Bust, because not only is there Ghostbusters talk, but we also talk about Muppets. Oh, core memories again from childhood, right? So, yep. do you have a favorite memory from doing stuff with Arizona, or something current that was fun that happened?
Building my pack with Jeff and Dave from the team. That was a core memory. I was there 100% of the time with my pack. Didn't know anything about building the pack, but building that and then building that camaraderie with them while working on that pack. And then again, working on my second scratch build pack with them was a lot of fun.
That's cool. So as we continue down the journey here, what's your take on the newer movies? Frozen Empire, Afterlife, love them both. Don't love them both. What's your hot take on them?
I enjoyed them. The only thing, and I kind of wish it would have happened in Frozen Empire, I want to see a ghostbusting montage. We didn't really see any ghost busting other than, you know, the ghost at the beginning. And they kind of left for a job. But, you know, as a franchise, we don't have a whole lot of ghost busting going on in the movies. There's maybe like a handful of ghosts that we've seen trapped.
Right. We get a lot of story in there, which not necessarily, it's not always a bad thing, but they are the Ghostbusters, and we do want to see them more actively pulling out the neutrono wand and zapping something. And, it goes back to the original movie where we had the Slimer chase. And, that was awesome. Add a couple more of those into the movies, and I think as a whole fan base, we might be a little bit more pleased. But I will Frozen Empire, I will agree with you. Like, there's a lull where we needed more.
I want to see him more with the pack. I would love to have seen Paul Rudd with a pack, busting a ghost, getting slime, maybe.
Right. Exactly. Maybe it would have aged him a little bit.
Afterlife was amazing. That movie, hands down, was a movie we needed. I cried at the beginning and I bawled at the end.
Yep. I think you're speaking for a lot of us. If you could have one piece of memorabilia from any of the movies, either, you know, a prop, screen used item, or anything, what would the one item you'd want to have be?
The Ecto one.
Easy answer. Rolling around.
My wife and I have a deal. I can get a 59 Cadillac, but I have to sell everything in my collection. And that's where I'm like, yeah, but I got to keep the proton pack to go in the car. You need the ghost trap. You need the PKEs. I got to have the Lego firehouse to display on the hood so people see it at the events.
Right.
And they need the Kenner stuff. And she's like, yeah. No.
I mean, hey, you know, just keep playing the lottery. Maybe you'll have a little excess, and that way your dreams can come true, Brent. We wish you the best on all of your Ecto dreams.
I've seen the real Ecto in life. I've touched it. I may or may not have opened the back door to one of the afterlife Ectos in a Sony event, but that's not my fault. They left it unlocked.
I didn't hear anything. Now you've been a part of the community now for a little while here. What's your favorite part about being in this fandom?
We all have the same thing in common. We love Ghostbusters. I know teams don't always get along and there's always people, but at the end of the day, just we all love Ghostbusters. Let's make that our love to raise money for these charities we work with.
Right on. I mean, that's I will definitely agree with you on that. We can all come together on it. Now, have you had any interactions with any of the cast from the movies besides Robin?
I've met Ernie Hudson a couple of times at cons. Obviously, part of the Fan Fest back in 2019, being one of the teams that got to, you know, be at their display, we got in a little early, so we got to meet and get pictures with Ray Parker Jr. We got to see all the guests coming in, the Ghost Corps as they entered. At the Ecto Fest they had a few years ago, I was sitting off to the side and I saw how the actors were going off. So I have this picture of me, Jason Reitman, and Ivan Reitman from the Fan Fest that I kind of ran off to the side. I saw them and I said, "Hey, Jason, sorry to bother you. Can I please get an autograph?" He was able to sign that. And then Logan Kim was with him. And then Logan Kim signed a poster I had. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I got to meet Logan as well. He's definitely a cool dude. That was I've met Ernie, I've met Logan, met McKenna. Honestly, you kind of get starstruck when that happens. So I definitely, it's cool, right? Like,
Logan was like so cool when when I met him, because we were talking to him, and it was almost like he wanted to continue to talk and hang out, but Jason's like, "Come on, we gotta go."
Right. No, that's awesome. I'm glad you were able to have that experience. Now here's a good one. If you could suit up with any Ghostbusters team member, who would you want to suit up with?
Ooh.
And it could be a team, it could be one other. What do you think?
Now, are we talking movies or like real life?
Anything. You know what? We'll even go as far as to say, if there's anybody else, you know, movie-wise, celebrity-wise, who would you want as your four-member team? So you're one. Who would be the other three?
I'm going to go with Gary Gruberson, Mr. Paul Rudd.
Right on.
Ray Stantz, the heart of the Ghostbusters. And then Garrett from Extreme Ghostbusters.
Nice. I like your selection on that. Because you get a little attitude in there, but you also get, you know, someone who down at their core is just there to give his all, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awesome choice. I like that. Love it. So I want to get into a little bit of the charity side of this now, too. So, you know, our teams are a lot of times known for giving back for charitable work. What are you most passionate about with the teams that you're a part of, and what have you participated in that aspect too?
So every year for Arizona, we raise money throughout the year for the Arizona foster homes, and we sponsor a foster home during the holidays. And whatever money we raise, we put towards buying Christmas lists for this house of foster kids who don't, you know, have anyone. So this past year, we were able to buy everything off of the list, not just from team members, you know, out of our own pocket, but from the money we raised too. So we were able to buy everything on their list.
That is awesome. Like we said, it's about giving back. And in that situation, you're definitely giving back to a cause that oftentimes, you know, goes unnoticed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to give back to that type of community, I definitely commend your guys' work on that, because that is that's amazing. Now, are there any, besides that, are there any other specific organizations that you work with?
I don't know all of them with Arizona. Everything's, sure. We'll have like certain ones for different small events. If we're at a Comic Con, it'll be a small one. Unfortunately, I wasn't at the past cons. I'm not as active as I'd like to be.
Sure.
I know Buffalo's big one throughout the year. They raise money for Toys for Tots. And this past year at Ghostbusters Day, they raised over $40,000 for Tunnels for Towers, for Tunnels for Towers, which is helps the families and victims of 9/11.
Yes, that, I mean, that's definitely a worthy cause as well. So I know, I can always check back here, but Brent, you had mentioned in our chat that there was something specific you wanted to bring up. Was it about Ghostbusters Day?
Yeah, so Ghostbusters Day started as a late night idea in our Buffalo chat where I was like, hey guys, has anyone, because the firehouse has half of the Ghostbusters 2 sign.
I've seen it, yes.
So I was like, hey, has anyone ever like thought about buying or repairing the Ghostbusters 2 sign so they can have a full sign? And then it turned into, well, what if we just, you know, start a GoFundMe, raise money and buy the Hollywood collectible sign and give that to the firehouse. Then it turned into, let's get the Ghostbusters 2 sign fixed. We found out that couldn't happen, but then we ended up raising over $8,000 and had permission from Sony. They worked with us to have a full size replica sign of the, you know, the original firehouse sign for Ghostbusters 1 and created and built.
That's
kind of a cool thing.
That is a cool thing. How many times have you been to the firehouse?
I went once in maybe 4 or 5 times. This past year was the first time I actually saw the sign hanging up, which was awesome. So I hadn't been back to New York since the first Ghostbusters Day, which was 2021.
Okay. That's it. It's a surreal experience.
Yes. And it was so awesome seeing the sign hung properly where, you know, they first hung it in the middle and then the chief got tired of the backlight of the sign shining into his office. And then they moved it to the side and then somehow a new movie came out. So somebody must have worked their magic somewhere to make the sign get hung proper. Cause we were told it would never happen because it's a historical building.
Right. Now what was your feeling the first time you actually saw the firehouse? The first time?
I wasn't like, I just kind of was like driving up. I looked out, I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Like it just came out of nowhere. And parked my car, got out, took some selfies, walked around it, touched the building. And it was just like, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah, no, I remember because I was out there for the Frozen Empire premiere and it's my first time in New York. Except for like, you know, a brief layover I had one time, but you know, I wasn't able to get down there. So I remember rounding the corner and just looking up and going, holy cow. Like it's so surreal to see something that you had seen so many times on film right in front of you as a real Ghostbuster fan like us. It hits you. It hits you right in the feels, doesn't it, Brent?
It does. And Ghostbusters Day this year, last year, we estimated there was maybe around 1,000 Ghostbusters there. The line went from the side door to the firehouse, had a little queue area that zigzagged, then went around the block almost halfway on the other side. Just for the merch, to buy the merch. And then there was everyone who was gathered around the Ectos and hanging out.
It never ceases to amaze me how many fans there are in this fandom. Like it's amazing. It spans generations, you know, like my son loves Ghostbusters. I love Ghostbusters. You've got, you know, fathers and grandfathers that are into it. And it's one of those things that really, I think because of the causes that we're supporting, Ghostbusters will really just kind of be timeless.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Brent, now comes the real question. Brent, why do you bust?
To raise money for different charities. I suit up to make people happy, make them smile, so they can be like, wow, that's a Ghostbuster.
That's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, Brent, we want to thank you for coming on with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you ever come out to Chicago, hit us up because, you know, Chicago-style pizza is always the best. My treat.
Yeah, and I got to make it out to the Sony place they got out there.
Yes, Sony Wonderverse. We have the Ghost Trap. We have the Ghostbusters VR immersive experience. It is definitely, you know, we've as a team, we were able to experience it a few times. And as normal members, you know, we go there quite often. On Wednesdays, they now have bingo night. Oh, so, nice. Yeah.
Hosted by Bob Anderson.
For those older busters.
For us older busters, we have bingo. But yes, it is hosted by the wonderful and mythical Bob Anderson. So you ever make it out this way, like I said, some deep dish pizzas on me. And we'd love to see you out this way. But for now, Brent, thank you for joining us. And keep on busting and giving back, buddy.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. And for everybody out there, tune in next Monday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time for Why We Bust, presented by your Windy City Ghostbusters. And then with that, I am Matt Goldenboat, signing out for this week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.